the revelation of the book of Revelation, part 62. I'm Professor Hannes Redlingheid of the First Assembly of Yahushua in South Africa, Pretoria, Montana, also international. Should you require any of the books which I've written, especially the two keys to the book of Revelation, it's a 800 pages book, just on the 800 pages, or maybe have a question or just want to share a word, you are so welcome. You can contact me at my WhatsApp number, international number +27 0722 367 124. Just go to my website, https://yahvah.co.za. I just want to say I also have a couple of the original of the restoration of the original Sacred Name Bibles available, which you can't find in no bookstore throughout the world. There's a couple that you can find in Texas and in America at the Yah Movement. You will find some there, but the rest of the world, not even in one bookshop. I have a couple available should you be interested. If this is the first time that you are about to participate in the study, I urge you to go to part 1, start from the beginning, because you've missed out on quite a bit of information. Very important to subscribe to the channel in order to receive the different notifications. All the studies that we are currently busy with, please send this, share this link with your friends and family and all those that are dear to you. Make sure at least you have a 611 King James Bible, pen and a notepad ready. I trust that this study today will be a blessing unto you in the name above every other name, the name Yahushua. Hallelujah. We are going to continue where we left off last week. The sign of Yahweh's Almighty's covenant with Abram. Most of the time when the originality of infant baptism is questioned, the sign of Abram's covenant with Yahweh Almighty is used as proof. Now, what do they say? Most of the time when the originality of infant baptism with others sprinkling the babies is questioned, they use the sign of the covenant of Abram to say that today in the 21st century they baptize the small children. Therefore, it will be necessary to study Abram's covenant with Yahweh Almighty to experience the power and the value of this covenant. I realize that we have already studied some of these scriptures, but it will be necessary just to look at some of them again in the context of whether we are still relevant today in 2025. Yahweh Almighty calls Abram, A-B-R-A-M, Abram, Abram. Genesis 12 verse 1 to 3. Now Yahweh Almighty said unto Abram, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. This scripture declares that it was Yahweh Almighty who called Abram, and it was not Abram who decided to leave homeland. He received specific instructions from Yahweh Almighty. It was not just out of his free will that he just went. It was an instruction from Yahweh. I will make you a great nation, verse 2. And I will make thee a great nation, and I, that's Yahweh, bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Hallelujah. According to the scriptures, there are four specific promises in blessings if Abram will be obedient. Listen to it. A. I will make of thee a great nation. During the period of 4,000 years, this promise was fulfilled. Today in 2025, Christianity is the largest religion on earth. Christianity was born from Judaism, which is a spiritual product directly of these promises from Yahweh Almighty to Abram. Now I just want to emphasize something right here. Throughout the world, the word Christianity, when it's used, it reflects on the church that grew from the teachings of the 613 laws of Moses, first Abram, and then Moses, and then it flown into the life of Yahushua. Now, a lot of people says in the time of Yahushua, Christianity was born. Well, if you go back into history, you will find that the word Christian or Christianity never exists in the time of Yahushua 2,000 years ago. Why? Because the word Christian and Christianity is a Greek word and not a Hebrew word. When they did the translation, when the Roman Catholic Church in the 2nd century, between 100 and 127, made the translation of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, the Gospels, they even didn't use the name Christianity or Christian. Why? Because the disciples of Yahushua, disciples means followers. The disciples of Yahushua were not called Christians 2,000 years. They were called Yahvist, means followers of Yahushua. The Roman Catholic Church, what did they do? In the 4th century, 327 AY, after Yahushua, Emperor Constantine, who was the first pope of the Roman Catholic Church, and he was Caesar of the Roman Empire. He was Pontifex Maximus, he was a vicar of Christ, he was God represented on earth. At the Council of Nicea, 325 to 327, he created the word Christian and Christianity, referring to the Roman Catholic Church as followers of Christ, because they didn't believe in him as Yahushua. They called him Jesus. When they did the translation in the 2nd century from Hebrew to Greek, the harbor of Alexandria, the Byzantine text, they changed the name Yahva to Isis. Kyrios. Theos. They changed it to Theos. They start with the word Theos, which means God, which was the sun god Nimrod, Ra, Zeus, Isis. It was called Theos in the 2nd century, where it was Yahva. And the name Yahushua was changed in the 6th century to Isis, I-S-O-U-S or I-S-I-S, which is also Nimrod, Ra, Zeus, Isis. Then in the 6th century, the Catholic Church changed the name, which was Theos, to Kyrios, which is a Latin word, Kyrios, which originated then as Lord or God. And then in the 13th century, they changed the word Kyrios to God and Lord, which was God, Lord, and it became Here in Afrikaans. And further on, also in German, here. So we understand now. So what did they do? The word Christianity and Christian never exist in the time of Yahushua. It's impossible. It only originated in the 4th century, 325, 327, at the Council of Nicaea, where Emperor Constantine, where the Pontifex Maximus, Emperor Constantine, who was also the Pope, created the name Christian. And that, from that time on, the word Christian is used throughout the Roman Catholic Church to identify themselves as followers of Christ. Christian, Christos, Christ. And then in the 16th century, well, 15th century, starting 16th century, the letter J was created, and then only the name Jesus was created. In all of the Catholic Bibles, from 2000 AY after Yahushua, to 1530 after Yahushua, when referring to Jesus as we call him today, it was Isos, or Isios, I-S-I-S, Isis, or Isios. Very interesting information. When he said, I will make thee a great nation, during the last 4,000 years, this promise was fulfilled. Today in 2005, Christianity. So who's Christianity? Even on TV, when I talk about Christianity, it's the Roman Catholic Church. It's not the Protestant Church, although the Protestant Church is half Catholic today. Today in 2025, Christianity is the largest religion on earth. No, it's not Christianity. It's the Roman Catholic belief. Because the Roman Catholic Church infiltrated all religions. I mean, they created the Islam or the Muslim faction. There was never a denomination or a church like Islam. But in 570 AY after Yahushua, the Roman Catholic Church created Islam. Christianity was born from Judaism. Christianity is not what Yahushua preached. That was Yahwist. They were born from Islam, from Judaism, from Abram's bloodline. But the Christianity, the Catholic Church, they worship pagans. They even worship pagans today. Look at the Vatican. Look at the Vatican. Looking at the roof, you have a gutter. Look at the gutter. The whole length and the whole sides right around of the Vatican is martyr faces. People that is painful, that was tortured. Why would a church have all these faces around their face board on the church, the Vatican? That is not the headquarters of salvation. It's the headquarters of Satan. This is the Roman Catholic Church from 34 AY was created to oppose the Yahwist teachings, because the Yahwist was flushing the whole world with the gospel. In such a stage that the Roman Empire feared that the Yahwist would just take over the world. And then they created, in 34 AY, the Roman Catholic Church. Roman means Roman Empire, it's a state church. Catholic means united, church means universally. So universally, she's the mother of all churches. Who? Christianity, that became Christianity in the 4th century. The first 3 centuries, it was never called Christianity. Never. There was no Christianity in the time of Yahushua. And today on the news, when they use the word Christianity or Christians, or it's reflecting directly to the Roman Catholic Church. And they also link the Pope to Christianity. When they talk about Christianity, the Pope, the Vicar of Christ, or something like that. So, to understand, what I want you to understand, that Christianity, which is a cult, did not originate from the Judaism. It did not originate from Judaism. It originated from paganism. And that's why today they still christen babies, because it was part of the rituals from the Roman Church in the Roman Empire, and then into the Roman, first it was in the Greek Empire, and then into the Roman Empire. It's part of paganism, they just brought it through. And if we go about the whole thing, the statue of Jesus and Mother Mary and Jesus, it's not Mother Mary and Jesus, it's Semiramis and Nimrod, the Queen of Heaven and the Sun God. If you can lay your hands on the book, The Two Babylons by Arthur Hislop, Alexander Hislop, I'm just thinking about it. I have so many books. Alexander Hislop. It was banned for over 100 years. Now they are freely available because the ban has been lifted. Get yourself The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop, but buy yourself a couple of seat belts because you are going to fall out of your chair. So let me rephrase again. So we agree that Christianity was not born from Judaism, but the Yahwist teachings and followers of Yahushua originated from the original how do we call it? From Abram and from the Hebrew people. All right. Judaism, I'm looking for the word Judaism, flows from Judaism. Christianity is a pagan religion. Now, I'm not asking anybody sorry for anything. It's a fact. He says, I will bless thee, Israel. Abel's to say, now I'm going back to our discussion originally. Hey, I will make thee a great nation. Now we understand that through Yahushua, Abram's promise flown into Yahushua's message of a New Testament. Because after 4,000 years, the Old Testament Father Abram's promise to Abram became, it reaches the time where a new covenant had to be made. A New Testament. The first covenant was, it will be a great nation. Israel never been a great nation from that time. Not as we think. Oh, it's like the stars in heaven and sand on sea. No. That is from the seed of Abraham. The single seed, which would be 4,000 years later, Yahushua, the seed. The seed will flow through, and they will become as much as the stars in heaven or more, and the sand on sea. So, in the New Testament, Yahushua came, Yahweh sent his son, with a new covenant. Not a covenant made with circumcision on the flesh, but a circumcision in our spirits. Not made by the hands of men, but by the Ruach HaKodesh, and the blood of Yahushua. Through the obedience of Abram, became a nation called Israel, and his followers, Jacob's 12 sons. They never became as massive and large as what the followers of Yahushua became. But the foundation came from the laws, 613 laws of Moses after they left Egypt after 430 years. But today, we are part of the pride of Yahushua. We call ourselves Yahwist, followers of Yahushua, not Christians. I'm not a Christian. I'm not even a Protestant, because Protestantism was created by the Roman Catholic Church. You understand? In the beginning of the 16th century. So it's not true to say that Christianity originated from Judaism. It's not. Christianity originated from paganism. And you see, I can teach and preach the word and the facts because it's part of my studies, eschatology, for the last 58 years. And for the last 27 years, I don't belong to no church or denomination. So I can give you the biblical facts and the historical facts as I have studied it through the years. And if I'm wrong, please help me right. Use the scripture, the 1611 King James Bible, or the restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible. But don't come with a new King James or an American Standard Version or Living Word or Jehovah's Witness Bible or any one of the other 300. I function throughout the tectus receptus text. There's a Rieris Erasmus 15:22. All right. So you will become a great nation. Second, I will bless thee. Israel, Abraham's descendants, is not only a great nation, but Yahweh Almighty said, I will bless thee, and they are blessed. I will make thy name great. The nation Israel is surely the most recognized name in the history books. There's no nation that's most commonly known as the nation of Israel. Even today in 2025, daily Israel is on the news bulletins around the world because of an interaction with the Islamic states and the wars and everything that's there. And thou shalt be a blessing. Nobody in the world can change the promise. Why? Because it's made by Yahweh, the creator of heaven and earth himself. Thou shalt be a blessing. That's Israel. Throughout the Bible we find every one of these promises are being fulfilled, even in the lives of the bride of Yahushua. Hallelujah. The following verse needs to be read with caution. I will bless thee. Verse 3. And I will bless thee that blesses thee. I will bless thee that blesses thee, and curse him that curse thee. And thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In this 21st century, we find that this scripture is coming to fulfillment daily. A. I will bless them that blesses thee. Yahweh Elohim promised to Abram was a blessing, then plural, that blesses thee. I will bless thee. It's a plural blessing. And curse him, that's B. I curse him that curses thee. Yahweh, our Elohim promise is to curse him, singular, who curses Israel. Because Yahweh just cursed once and it's goodbye. It's over and out. Finish, he's done. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Yahweh, our Elohim promised to Abram, or Israel was, in thee, Israel, all families of the earth shall be blessed. And this doesn't mean all the different religions, Buddhism, Islam, Satanism, and so we can carry on. Protestantism, and it's not what it means. All families on the earth shall be blessed. If you want to be blessed, bless the bride of Yahushua spiritually. Hallelujah. We are the product of the blessing that was spoken unto Father Abram through the one bloodline, the seed that originated from Abram to Yahushua, from Yahushua 2,000 years ago to us today in 2025. We are part of the family of Yahweh. Hallelujah. Understanding the above makes it easy to understand why Yahweh Almighty gave Abram a covenant to seal his promise to him. Please note, we shall study the whole chapter, but we shall only study which is necessary and is relevant to the study. My covenant. He makes a covenant. And you can write it down. Genesis 17, verse 2, verse 7, verse 10, and verse 14. I'm going to give it again. Genesis 17, verse 2, verse 7, verse 10, verse 14. The rest you can read. I don't want to take up unnecessary time or space. And I, Yahweh Almighty, will make my covenant. That my, that M, in the 1611 King James Bible, must be a capital M. So make it a capital M, because it's Yahweh. I will make my covenant between me, now there they have me with a capital M, and thee, and I will multiply thee extremely. And I, Yahweh Almighty, will make my covenant between me and thee, and I shall multiply thee exceedingly. According to the above scripture, we found how a covenant was formed between Abram and Father Almighty. Every seed of Abram was to be blessed according to this covenant. What was the covenant? What was the covenant? It was that Abram's seed, he didn't say seeds, seed, singular seed, will be a nation unto Yahweh Almighty, and that he, Yahweh Almighty, shall be Yahweh the Elohim unto them. You see, for so many centuries and millenniums, no, it's not millenniums, it's centuries, were it wrongly introduced and explained. It's a seed. It's a seed. The bloodline from Abram, the seed, to Yahushua. Hallelujah. It's very important to read what is written in these following scriptures because it is life-changing. Thy seed after thee. And I will discover my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee. And in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be Yahweh the Elohim unto thee and to thy seed after thee. According to the scripture promised Abram that he established a covenant between him, that's Yahweh Almighty, and Father Abram. And thy seed singular after thee and thy generations, an everlasting covenant. Now we find that the promise of a covenant continues. This covenant shall only be with Abram, but to a single seed coming from the bloodline or seed of Abram. Now we understand this. It's important to understand the revelation word of these scriptures. Firstly, Yahweh Almighty is referring to a single seed that will in future time to come be born from Abram's bloodline, called Yahushua, who shall come to this world as the Messiah of the nation of Israel, who would not accept him, but he, Yahushua, in the third year of his early ministry, will offer everlasting life to the Gentiles. It is very important to note that the covenant shall be an everlasting covenant. To be Yahweh El Elim unto thee. This covenant consists of two parts. Firstly, I shall be your Elohim unto thee, and thy seed after thee, and to the seed after you. Understanding the covenant, the contents of this covenant, we find out this covenant shall be an everlasting covenant unto the nation of Israel, and to the Bible of, and to the bride of Yahushua centuries later. In the following scripture we will find that the covenant consists of, you must be circumcised. Verse 10. This is my covenant with ye shall keep between me and you, and thou seed after thee. Every man shall be circumcised. What about the woman? I'm just asking, I'm going to refer to that later. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you. Yahweh Almighty is confirming to this covenant. This is my covenant which you, Abram, must keep, which is between you and me. And thy seed after thee. What? And thy seed. He doesn't say seeds. This covenant will not only be with Abram, but also with all his seed or generations after him. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Yahweh's instructions is that every man child among you must be circumcised. The token of the covenant. Verse 11. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. It shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. It is important to take note that a part of the body must be circumcised. Not his arm, not his hand, no. His foreskin. Why his foreskin? Can you tell? Can you tell? Why is foreskin? This is to prove that the covenant between Father Yahweh Almighty and Abram was only between the males, the men of Israel. The proof of this is that no girl or lady had a foreskin. This covenant was to men or boys only. Later I will show you how Yahweh, through the grace of the New Testament, will draw women in. I can just quote the scripture quickly here, and you can keep it. Galatians 3 verse 26, 29. He said, those who have been immersed in the name of Yahshua to the forgiveness of their sin have been clothed with him. We put on the wedding garment. There is no more Jew nor Gentile, Greek nor slave. There is no Gentile nor Greek, female nor slave, nor man nor woman. But we are all one, and according to the promise of Abraham, we have become participators, or we have become heirs. The woman, through the birth, he says, through new birth, becomes partakers of the covenant. We are circumcised by the mind, not by the flesh anymore in the New Testament. I'm going to stop right here. What I just quoted the scripture for your ladies who is part of the study, not to run away, but to sit and listen, study the word. There's big promises coming to the ladies also. Till next week, if his father's will. Maranatha. Yahshua's coming back again. Hallelujah.